Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week.
Right, you don't want to go to a universe and immediately think that everything is an extra-dimensional threat. Because if someone comes up to you made of cake or pastrami or soup or furries, you're going to want to eliminate them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Or eat them.
You want to chow down on a furry. I get it.
Hello. Welcome back to Pitch Please, or just welcome if it's your first time. How are you doing? I'm Alex. I'm also joined.
You're expecting a reply.
Maybe someone could have replied then. If they were on the bus, they would be like, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm worth
what
it.
A big
right,
boy.
Thanks.
That's a big poop you're having. Good boy."
Say it close to the mic.
Oh God.
All right. My name's Alex. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
Thomas, the ideas manatee. Don't know.
Hi.
Just trying to think of another word.
Thanks.
rather than engine, and you went for manatee.
It's full of. I use engine too many times. I need to come up with. I wish.
You went for the natural secondary word.
Yeah. The natural equivalent of an engine. Yeah. So look, the way this works, you've not heard us before, is an idea for a game is going to get pitched, an elevator pitch, if you will. And then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out how to make it. We're going to throw all the little ideas in, probably lots of little rubbish ideas, make it worse than it was when it first came out. We're going to birth it.
Boy, and then by the end, it's going to be dead. Have a good time. Have a good time.
That's Tommy's new...
A lot of us
new...
have had some sugar and we shouldn't have.
I just downed like half a cup of coffee, a very large cup before we started.
God,
that's
damn.
Tommy's new character.
Hey,
on the porch,
I'm the
Tommy.
Podcast hot man. Woo! Right. Yeah.
This
I don't like
year,
this character. He's dead now, canonically.
The game kernel.
This season. Oh God. Okay. All right. Look. This season, we're taking a slightly different direction because we're out of ideas and have been for many years. We've just been desperately trying to scratch a living on ideas. It's not worked out. We turned to ChatGPT last episode. That was fine, but we've done it now. No one cares about AI anymore.
Turns out, generative AI. It's not there
thing
yet.
Of the past. So now we're going to go back to humans. We're going to go back to humans that aren't us. Is that right?
The old
Tom?
Brain. The old flesh and bone, the old blood and guts.
Can't beat
the
it.
The old gore and viscera. You love it. We got it. That's what I'm made of.
That's what we're all made
anyway.
Of. And ideas. Somewhere in there, some ideas.
We're all made of ideas, see?
This is a very weird start.
Were you expecting that to be a nice segue into Pop Brainy, by the way? It should have been. Let me try. I'll redo that. The old right, yes. blood and guts, the old bones and brains, like the person who sent in
our
today, Pop Smooth. Brainy. I don't think Pop that's their Christian name, but
might be.
they have a pitch here. It says, "Hi guys, here's my pitch from my pitch hole to yours.
Hello.
Hope it makes it to the show. Keep up the great work, guys." So we've docked our pitch holes together. And they're transferring materials from...
I prefer materia.
They're viscera from their holes to ours.
I think I prefer the vision that we're siphoning. We're siphoning from
we're his pitch hole. Sucking out from that hole. We've clasped our lips around that hole, and now it's time to...
What's like coming out?
It's like a circular human centipede. They're feeding us. We regurgitate it back to them. Their own ideas, but slightly digested.
Mushier. So welcome.
This has gone awry.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine.
That's the game they're pitching, isn't it? That's a quap human centipede.
Ooh.
I mean,
we're going to carry on with this energy.
That's next
and
week's.
Let's see if this episode goes out. So we have, it's got a working title. Do you want to hear it or shall I skip it for now?
Skip it for now and we'll see if we can figure it out.
Sure. Okay. Well, the description is it's a management / first person or RTS, haven't decided. So it's fucking anything.
Luckily, those genres are close together.
Okay. Management first person or RTS game focused on sending task forces to different dimensions. To eliminate, capture different weird things, horrors, or generally just naughty cultists. The setting is the year is 1980. Earth has survived a cataclysmic event that changed the nature of reality, and 10 years later, so it's 1990 now, maybe. Later, the surviving governments have established a police force that scan Earth for any weird phenomena remaining. Be it non-Euclidean area, a spooky monster, an object with weird properties, or cultists trying to do some Cthulhu-esque ritual junk. Dimension jumping technology exists, and the Force can travel between universes to help out those dimensions in need.
Mm.
There you go. There you go. What do you think?
So, has this cataclysmic event, is it like a Lovecraft, was it some kind of Lovecraftian thing? Because this is like all this non-Euclidean stuff, the Cthulhu.
What is non-Euclidean?
You know, like the staircases going up in the spiral and they all look like they're attached to each other, but they take it's geometry that doesn't, it's not Euclidean.
I only know it in the context of a D&D board.
A D&D what?
Like a tile set in like a D&D game or something. That's generally non-Euclidean space.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? You know, like when you'll see like a GIF of someone going into a room, but they've entered the room again, and then when they go through the door again, it's like a scaled version of the room that wraps in on itself. That is an example. Or a corridor where they turn a corner and they're back in the original corridor they were.
Is it like that painting where it's like 2.5D from that perspective, and you're looking at it, but the top of the picture is in a different angle to the bottom of the picture, and no matter how you look at it, it doesn't quite align with your eyes, and you lose your mind. Is it like that
like
one?
A magic
that
eye
painting?
Picture.
I think I've described it perfectly.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of the staircase one. I can't remember who did it.
What, with people walking upside
Escher.
Down and on the side?
Escher.
And
MC Escher. Escher. That's it.
Yeah. MC Escher, I love that guy. Drop some fat beats, MC Escher.
The name of the game.
It's fat beats.
All right.
Do you say parallel dimension or alternate dimension?
Alternate, right?
It just says any different.
Different right, dimension.
Different.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like a Doctor Strange multiverse thing. So if you're in, say, you're in New York City on our Earth, then you hop dimension. Are you now in a New York City of another Earth, but everything's made of like wool, or is it?
Right.
I don't think it's that different. Like, I think what they're saying is that the dimension jumping stuff is just a side note, really. I guess we'll find out.
But I was just trying to say, like, what are the rules of a? What are we saying? Are the rules of a dimension hop? Because either or any rule could have a mechanic that could be interesting, where you change something in one dimension and it acts differently in another dimension, but the action still happens. It's just the behavior is different.
Well, I guess we'll get there when we get further into it. Like when we get further into the mechanics of it. But for now, this is just the setting, right? This is just like the world in which this takes place.
Oh, I didn't know how long it was. I'll carry on.
1980s, Earth, surviving a cataclysmic event, so dimensional it's horrors, Ekin.
It's 1980, but the cataclysmic event took place in 1970, I assume.
Oh, I thought it was... Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It opens with the year is 1980. So does that mean that... Like, is technology basically a little bit frozen, like, to the 70s?
Like a Fallout kind of thing, but later on.
Okay, so what sort of technology are we talking then in the 70s? Oh, cigarettes. I think they only existed in the
70s.
The Walkman.
Church organs.
So everyone's running around, they're smoking, they're listening to tapes.
Yeah. Betamax, was that 70s or was that 80s?
I think it might have been 80s.
I can't help but feel like it would be better if it was 1980s is when the cataclysm happened and 1990 is when it's set. There's going to be better tech, right?
Yeah, there's going to be better tech.
I think whenever it's set, it doesn't really matter how many years later. If it's a dimensional horror event takes over the Earth, technology's going to freeze. Like, it could take place in
but would you
the
rather
60s
it froze...
and then it's 100 years.
When they're listening to cassettes, or would you rather it froze when they had a Game Boy?
I think it should have frozen the moment The Sun Always Shines on TV came out, so 80s, by AHA.
80s, all right.
The greatest song
ever. Trap of, like, just, like, every game now feels like it has some kind of 80s element with the soundtrack or the visuals. Yeah. Like, no one does. Who's ever done 70s in a game? 70s are, like, drab and boring. I feel like there's
really selling
it. Something there
what,
to
no?
be.
That's like disco.
Long hair, beards.
Oh my god, you're right. This could be the world of
Also, hang on, like,
wait, disco fever is infecting the world.
They're discotheques.
What was that game like the Deathloop is very like 70s in styling as well.
I would say that's 60s.
Yeah.
In my head that's like 60s.
It's a bit more hip, like, basically feels the like hippie-ish, late hippie, early tech.
And honestly, that is unique enough. Like, I would much rather have a game like that than to feel like, oh god, we're in the '80s again.
All right, let's do the '70s.
You don't want to do the 2000s? I mean, it's been long enough now. That is that not nostalgic now?
23 years ago. Oh my fuck! Well, okay, ten
we'll just
best
have loads
electronic
of
inventions from the '70s. NSYNC. Jesus, was that 2000? Was that not earlier?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
No, I think it was 2000.
Oh, my God. All right.
Wait, do you have a list there?
I do. Best electronic inventions from the 70s. So these will
this
be like the keystone things. That
are these artifacts that you use to teleport to dimensions?
These are 10 years old in this universe. So,
yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
Number one.
What have we got?
Pong. So we can
the only
incorporate
game that exists
that.
At this point.
Atari. Okay. Yeah, Atari, like, you've got Pong, you've got arcade machines, so they're a thing. Email was apparently invented... Wait, when was the internet invented?
That would have been, like, the DARPANET.
What?
DARPA invented
DARPA. Yeah, DARPA, right? I think that would be okay.
Oh, system used ARPANET.
ARPANET, not DARPANET, but it was used at DARPA.
That was 1971. So email, that's how you get all your messages.
If you're working for a super high-tech, you know, government agency or something, they would have this technology. So email is okay.
Yeah. And if we set it in this era and loads of people come out and say, like, it's a game set in the 70s, but everyone's getting emails. This doesn't sound right. Well, take it up with tti.com/content/tti-inc/en/resources/blog/etc. Motherfucker. Right. Three. The floppy disk. Four, the cell phone, like the huge ones though, giant ones.
Oh my God.
Do you remember in
takes up your
GTA,
entire inventory pack.
GTA Vice City, I had characters in cutscenes holding, because in Vice City, their hands didn't have individual fingers. Yeah. So their hands were massive, but they were holding these massive like block phones. That's what it'll be like, those
it's
giant
like
cell phones.
Trigger happy TV guy.
VCR, digital camera, microcomputer. Apple computer, like the first one. GPS.
Really?
God damn. GPS in 1978.
No.
Oh, with like satellites and stuff.
It wouldn't have been... It's the same with
not
the
TomTom.
It's not publicly available. It's all military-funded stuff.
Yeah, and Sony's portable music Walkman. But yeah, like the cassette tape one, not like the CD one.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I'm thinking? Sorry, Alex.
Go on, sorry. No, there you go.
I was thinking we go for some kind of Mad Max style thing, but it's all like you're driving cars with arcade sticks because it's all the technology we've got now. We just have to repurpose things. You've got
that's
like a
cool
Volkswagen with an arcade stick, even though the steering wheel would still be there and that was invented. But I don't know, you got nicked.
There was really no reason for them to replace it.
What we've done, we made it worse.
I do like the idea of it being kind of
tongue in cheek. Yes, because you're either turning left 100%. It's like driving games with a keyboard, right? Mm. There's no analog. You can't half press a key in a keyboard.
Oh, wait, sorry. You said joystick though, right?
I'm talking like arcade stick.
Oh, right. Okay. Not like a flight stick.
No, you could.
Yeah.
I
can drive with that.
I think having technology that, anything that the agency uses that you use is was cutting edge technology in the 70s, and so it should feel in that world like cutting edge technology. But to us, it just feels like they should have like the computer that you use, or like maybe you get to upgrade your systems to get like a 10 megabyte hard drive computer, but it's like the size of a door.
12 kilobytes of RAM.
Yeah, like all that. Like I actually really love the idea of like kind of like shit old technology being taken seriously.
But it would be like new, kind of, right? That's the difference. Because you always see the aesthetic of like, I've cobbled together an old VCR machine into a gun, and it's that kind of aesthetic, right? That 80s.
What do you shoot? Do you shoot like tapes at them?
Yeah, Betamax.
That's what would happen.
Or do you shoot like beta waves at them? And it VCRs them. And then you rewind them up back to their birth so they can't be born.
Rewind them back to the dimension they came from.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you fast forward them so they age super quick.
Yeah, but remember, this is also sprinkled over this is also that Lovecraft, like we're in Lovecraft's world as well, right? So technology is kind of, I guess,
tape over Cthulhu.
Steampunky, is he? But
pause him.
Yeah.
But maybe that's quite a cool hook there, isn't it? You've got that sort of mix of the Lovecraftian kind of old school monster versus technology, and
cutting edge
imbued with magic and stuff, and whatever cataclysmic event happened. It kind of reminds me of Control. Do you ever play Control? And they had I can't remember what they called them now, but items that were like possessed, and they use like a slide projector to go into another realm. Kind of gives me those kind of vibes, and I really love that. Like
it's Control was a really interesting. I really loved the idea of a game that is basically like SCP the game. I personally found it like a little bit. I don't know. Like for me, each of those encounters that you were describing, James, where you have to go and like have some kind of interaction with the like that item, or like they all felt really similar. Each one of those fights, it was kind of like the only things you ever fight are like humanoid. I was expecting like these huge kind of weird, terrifying Cthulian beasts, and there just wasn't anything like that in there. And that for me was like a bit of
Shadow of Colossus meets the cool mechanics of Control, like around and throwing.
But
maybe
that's what this is. We're not very far in. Is there more?
Oh, wait, you think this is going to be the thing to topple Control?
Maybe.
The biggest game of... I haven't played it. Like, I played maybe 10 minutes of it. I thought it was kind of garbage.
Hold on, what a role reversal. A game I've played and Tom hasn't? What?
I didn't get it. I heard so much about it. And I do like the SCP stuff has such a distinct visual style to it. And I expected a lot of that. And maybe I just didn't get far enough. But
it's a perfect opportunity for you to fix what you didn't like about Control with an 80s feel. Let's do
first
it.
Person slash RTS slash management game.
Yeah, it's also a management game.
So what do we have next? Is there more?
Well, here we go. We've got The Key Elements, which we probably should have gone through first.
Right.
As before, this is a management game slash first person or RTS. I haven't decided. Resources for task forces Resources for task forces, upgrades, gates to dimensions, or whatever. Task forces could have different specialties like fighting flora-based entities or traversing M.C. Escher-like environments. Okay. The first person elements come into play when a task force is sent on a mission where a player can take control of the leader of the unit. There are many mission types focused on keeping the general population safe. For instance, kill could take place in a different setting, like forests or urban environments, which would require a specific angle in which to tackle the task. Going guns blazing in a populated city could cause civilian casualties, for instance, and when in forests, an element tracking your opponent would be required depending on what it is. Capture, similar to kill, but the outcome being to capture, to study the phenomena, maybe trying to gain insight into it if another similar thing is to happen in a different universe. Maybe even recruit the person or monster if they can be reasoned with to join a task force. Sure, just put a suit on Cthulhu. recapture, when a monster you've captured escapes. Imagine doing a FPS in the XCOM 2 base.
Okay.
And there's a little bit more, but yeah, go ahead.
I think before, I guess, should we deconstruct that so far? Like, my feeling is the FPS stuff, lose it. Like, it doesn't need to be FPS when you do the XCOM. Like, the idea of like a monster you've captured escaping and suddenly it's loose in your base is great. Just keep that the same game style as what it is. If it's XCOM, keep it XCOM RTS.
Okay.
I really love that idea of a world where you get, like, it's similar to XCOM, I guess, but where it's not just like, because XCOM is very like, it's so many of the levels are, they're not samey, but that you are essentially, you're mostly fighting and exploring like stations and stuff. It's a similar environment, even if you start outside and stuff. But I love the idea of like, there's been like a portal is opened in the middle of a forest or in a mountainous region or something, somewhere remote, of just like just these crazy weird Cthulian creatures, and you have to go out there and fight them in that landscape. I think that could be really, really cool. And the capture stuff also, potentially being able to recruit like a weird Cthulhu creature, like, or maybe even like capture is in, because what happens if like Cthulhu or like a Cthulhu creature comes through a portal but in the woods? Do they just like having a whale just sat there in the woods and it can't do anything?
I won't even begin to think about what that would look like, because I would go insane, as is the nature of Cthulhu.
Hello my friend, my name's Sean and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on the path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Yeah, good point. Oh yeah, maybe there's like a kind of a mechanic where you, like, you're not allowed, you can't have line of sight for too long, otherwise your squad goes completely insane.
Almost like a sanity meter, maybe, or
a sanitometer.
Actually,
it's also how clean you are.
That line of sight flipping gets like excites me, because like line of sight is such a big thing in RTSs, right? Or in RTSs like this. If you reverse that and make it so that you, like, you have to manage the length of time for which you have line of sight, have some kind of mechanic that could be kind of interesting, maybe, with a sanitometer.
The idea that you've got to capture, maybe you can put down like electric fences or something, or you've got to try and herd it into a contraption of yours that you construct, like a wagon. Trying to okay. Cthulhu into the back of a police wagon.
This is like
we'll get him in there.
So, well, exactly. You could do ones where you have to take down things, or you could do ones where you have to capture. So they're different play styles, because you want to, in one, you want to just have strength, the other, you want to have zone control, know the environment that you're in. And you could divide missions up into that. And the capture missions could help you make something to then increase your chances in the kill missions.
I think in order to not make this just you jump in, you're in a fight, in like XCOM, I think there is also intended to be a large chunk of the game that is investigation as well. So you jump in and you don't know what you're going to be up against until you, I guess, speak to the locals or wander around.
Oh, so it's like we've had reports of something happening in this small town.
Something is destabilizing this universe. Go in there, figure out what it is, take it down or capture it if you need to. So, I mean, I don't know how that necessarily ties into a randomized event if everything has this very specific story and very specific effect on the surroundings. But, like, yeah, just jumping into a place and it is, you know, you have to just go look at that tree. There's some gauze on it. What does that mean? And you know, six different types of monsters, gauze all over the place.
Gets out his Atari. It's been modified to find gauze.
Yeah. You need to get your gauze scanner out. And yeah, just so it's not necessarily in the loadout before you go on the mission where you prepare for what you're up against. It's not like you can see, oh, I'm going to be against these five different aliens, so I'm going to bring these five different units or five different weapons or whatever. You have to actively prepare on the spot and react to things after you've jumped in. And that could be interesting. Like, that could be a fun way of doing it. Like, just the foreboding of spotting all of these different things and you slowly uncover, I realize what I'm up against here and I realize I can't do this.
Does that become more about, your, environmental properties of, like, the level and stuff? Because I imagine it could be frustrating for a player if we're still imagining it as, like, an XCOM-style game where you go into a level and then there is like a fighting element at some point. But if you go in thinking, oh, okay, maybe I'll need this and this and this, and then it turns out you can't do anything with any of that stuff and you're fucked. Are there other things in the environment that means you could use that stuff maybe you can make a VHS, a Betamax gun from like the local video store or stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm getting like a real kind of like Men in Black vibe from it, you know, like they have the car, they drive up to a scene and maybe they've got a bunch of equipment in the boot and they can like fashion, like a crafting element. They could actually build stuff live, like you said, but it's just maybe one guy or two guys, two police officers, as it were, in this mystical police force who can then maybe call in reinforcements. Specific reinforcements based on the threat. So you're managing your resources in that sense. You could be like, pull guys out of this thing, I need them here, but you play as the kind of police officer that is driving around and discovering all of these.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there's
so the game is still based around these, you have these XCOM style levels or maybe not necessarily XCOM, but, you know, these kind of, these isometric looking levels.
Game.
I guess I'm thinking almost more of like Divinity now, and I guess in a way, where you kind of explore
and there
is battle elements to it. But, right, you don't know, but it's not huge open world. It is still levels, like designed levels. There's still the kill capture mechanic, but you don't know what your objective is going to be. Going into that level, you just know, like you're saying, Tom, that something's been destabilized, some weird like fucky shit is going on in this area, you have to investigate, and there is a countdown timer to when shit is going to get really bad, like maybe if you know, to when the monster is going to appear through the portal, when the portal's going to destabilize or when it's going to open. You don't know what that timer is until you essentially complete the breadcrumb trail and figure out what's going on here. So if you figure out like, oh, this is green gauze on this tree, and also the person at the petrol station said they heard a really high-pitched noise earlier that night, like earlier that morning, and you put all these things together and you realize, oh, it's a fucking
go on.
It's a I was trying to think of a tentacled elephant, which is basically Cthulhu. It's a gauze
elephant.
Don't just give us one monster. Give us two
it's
more.
It's a tent elephant and it's a armored manta ray.
That actually sounds fucking rad. Okay, and the third one?
And it's a
idea manatee.
An idea manatee. Yeah. So those are the three things. You know, there's two elements of the level. It's like investigate and then resolve. And the resolve, whatever the resolution, it could be kill or it could be capture, it could be something else, but you don't know what that resolution is going to be until you've investigated.
As I say, did any of you guys ever play The Bureau, the XCOM FPS?
I didn't, actually.
We were describing having like cars and having like turning up to weird events in small towns and forests and whatever. That's what that kind of game was, but obviously it was set in the XCOM universe, but that was set in like 1960s. So they're all wearing like white shirts.
No, this is completely different.
This is 70s. No, but it gave me the similar vibe of you are like the Men in Black / the Bureau. You've got, you know, a Tommy gun and whatever weird tech that you've been given by the government, and you're there to go tackle anomalies.
This is 10 years later, so tech has advanced. You don't have a Tommy gun, you have an automaton Tommy gun.
All right.
An automaton gun.
Automatoma gun. I really just want a game that has an automatoma gun.
I'll make that for you, Tom.
Thank you. Please do. Oh, it sounds so good.
The setting's really going to lean into the investigate phase, though, because I can't, you know, they wouldn't have social media as we know it now, but they might.
They have email.
They've got Pong. They bounce things back and forth from each other.
They might still have like newspapers. So you could
they
use
might
that
do they quite might old have newspapers
might have exist.
What I mean is there could be a real like tactile feel to the investigation phase rather than just, you know, an email thing. You could actually go and collect clippings and
so
I think
interview people
have a I think the
LA Noir style
I think you should also be like the time police from Loki, in which you are from a different universe, and like the Men in Black, you know, they can wipe memories and stuff. The longer you spend in this universe fucking around with things, leafing through people's newspapers and emails, you're going to start to destabilize the universe even more because you are an extraterrestrial threat investigating the more dangerous extra-dimensional threat.
Not even from the Earth that
you're trying to stabilize universes in order to strengthen up Earth One, right? For whatever purpose. So yeah, the longer you spend there, the more you interact with people. Maybe in the middle of a fight, some wanderer just comes into the forest and you're like, fuck, you shouldn't have seen this. And that's someone you just have to just eradicate.
Just them, their whole timeline. So,
no, like they wandered into the forest and they just vanished. Weird.
That's how myths and legends are born. It's not
exactly.
Bigfoot. Yeah. It's like a bloke in a suit.
Well, it was the creatures that
not
did
black.
It, not you.
You can't have Men in Black. It has to be like cyan.
It's the 70s.
Well,
right?
It's the 70s. It's
like, the men in
corduroy.
Corduroy. Okay.
The Beige MIC. Brigade.
That's the name.
I know the ending though. The ending is that you find the alternate version of yourself, and they're behind the whole thing. You have to capture yourself.
Spoilers. Jesus,
fuck's sake.
They're Cthulhu.
Damn, I'm not going to play this now.
Sorry, guys.
Well, what if going back to like the investigation side as well? Like, if you like, I really love the idea of going in, like what you were saying earlier, Tom, about like going in and not. Really just not knowing what is going to be, what's going to happen. And then like, the investigation stuff is, maybe that also goes to, say if you do have a squad and they're like an XCOM, you know, there are different people, people are better at different things. You
I don't
have,
believe
like,
you.
A talent tree. You're good at everything. You have like a you have like a talent tree that you can invest, like, you know, make people like have certain you know, it's like people can like be better at different things, and you might want to bring in someone who is particularly good at you know, I'm thinking like, you know, with Disco Elysium, like having like logic points essentially, so you can figure out, you can be the detective guy, or putting points into physical and so on and so forth. But so you want a decent balanced team when you go in, but also perhaps there are things around the map, like maybe resources around the map, so that you have like your car, your like Men in Black car or Ghostbusters car, whatever it is, you park that somewhere, and that's almost like your temporary base camp. So you can take resources back, and with those resources you find around, you can craft different things that might help you resolve whatever the mystery ends up being. So you could use these resources to create weapons, or you could use them to create something to help capture or convince an enemy or something. Maybe there's something like
so,
that.
Yeah, so you're using...
Yeah, as a reward for finishing a level, you get the Cthulhu tusk or whatever, and you go, great. Carve that up and make it into Cthulhu strength. Yay. You know, there must be stuff from other dimensions and realities that would just be left behind because the portal was opened. You could go and collect, you know, that could be another phase. I don't know if they mentioned it, but you've got the kill, you've got the capture, recapture, maybe like cleanup is the last phase where you've got to actually go and take a team.
Scrub that universe.
Scrub it clean, yeah.
That's where you eradicate the small child that accidentally caught you, and you're like,
yeah. You're
right. Bye, little Timmy.
Breaking Bad.
Better get rid of
contain, maybe, instead. Like, contain it from... Yeah. I like it.
I feel like... I mean, Tom, I feel like you are the XCOM expert out of all of us. Like, is this speaking to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do like it. I think, like you were saying with crafting and resources, I like the idea of there being not, I guess the recipes for, say, this new type of machine gun or whatever, it is kind of four different components, and all of the different universes have their own versions of these components. So you can kind of craft the gun that you want. Say the magazine comes from Earth 14, the Woolen World, but the trigger comes from fucking Mars 12, where everything is made of pastrami, and they all have different like abilities.
You couldn't tell we've run out of ideas. In general,
well, all right, Chris.
I mean,
four
we know
different
that from
Earths. I want them now.
From the wool Earth, you're going to get the Walkman, right?
Walkman. Yeah. All right, four different universes now.
Are they all Earth?
They don't have to be Earth, just four different universes that we could jump to.
Well, you could do the one where everyone is, you know, made of plants.
Okay. The plant universe.
Yeah. There's the soup universe. Yeah,
oh,
that's what I was going to go for. He got me. Everyone's made of cream of tomato.
Two.
Oh no, I feel like my third universe, which was going to be the beans one, is a bit too close to soup.
Yeah, no, we've already had the Heinz land.
Yeah, because you know beans are just lumpy soup.
Yeah,
as everyone knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then there's the one where everyone is anthropomorphized animal.
Furry universe. Furriverse.
Yeah. The furries, the scalies, and the...
How do I get to that one?
Are there fish? Are they fishies?
universe.
Amphibifans.
The scalies?
Yeah, but fish have scales, but they're not lizards, so I don't include those in that.
I think
are they separate universes?
Both ways.
We have four universes, and three of them are basically just different versions of furries.
Yeah, three of them are just yiff nations.
Yes. Ah, yes, the classic super
yiffiverse.
Furries.
Would you not fuck a soup?
And the other one is it's Earth. Now here's the twist, but it's 200 years behind.
Right. So Earth in the Park.
So it's like medieval?
Yeah. Yeah.
So furry, scaly, soup, and knights. A little bit behind.
Yeah, the soup one is the interesting one there. Because they, you know, they're armed with croutons.
Well, exactly. Now imagine making a gun from all those different universes.
Yeah.
Magazine from Furry World. Stock from Soupland.
Just a can opener.
From Earth, but 200 years ago. How exciting.
Bullets are knights.
You shoot small swords.
I like the idea of the different universes, but I feel like they would be... It wouldn't be something as nut like as weird as like everyone is made of cake or
what,
like
what?
Or like
Alex, that's just insane.
All right, Alex, you've taken
that too way too left field.
Fine. All right, Alex, let's have four boring universes now.
I just feel like the difference.
Give them to me.
Like materials would be different, right? But it would still be humans, living human universes, and it could be different decades. Or it could be like, okay, this is the '70s where McCarthyism won in America. So actually, everyone is...
Thrilling!
No, but that would have like other implications. Like, so in just in terms of like... It would just be like small changes, but where like or, like the architecture and everything is different. So the technology that they have is different. It wouldn't be like so different that it would just be like completely unrecognizable. It would be these small little threads that have changed enough.
Like one's so like fascism,
you know,
Hitler's back.
Yeah. Hitler won the war. Like,
hey, everyone, welcome to the Microsoft conference. Today, we've got a world premiere for you today. Do you remember the Red Scare? What if McCarthyism won? That's, that's yeah, you how do, you excite you know, people.
The Cold War went bad. There's one.
The Cold War went hot.
Now we're heating up.
Stuff now we're like cooking that, with I gas.
Think. I think that would be.
Oh no! Don't
be like,
say that.
Okay, so we could go into fucking.
Wait,
hell.
What?
We could go.
Oh no! Oh, that took me a second to realize all of the things I had said. They weren't the same universe. That's bad.
No, okay, different universes. Look, fine.
But it would be these small changes, or relatively small, comparatively small changes, would make large differences in terms of like technology leaps. So you could go to a 70s universe that actually is 20, like in 1970, was 20 years ahead in technology. So you could go,
so you
to
go
one
to
universe.
You're going
go
to the 90s.
Yeah.
You just described the 90s. Except everyone is saying it's the 70s. Like,
wait, this world looks like ours. No, wait, the Spice Girls are there.
What year is it? It's the 70s, but we're just advanced.
But I think stuff like stuff that essentially, basically, it's not so different that it's just you're like, it's not wacky different. It's like grounded in there's some grounding in reality, because the thing that makes it wacky, or the thing that makes it crazy, like the insane stuff, is the Cthulhu, like the crazy Cthulhu things coming through. You know, these.
Right, you don't want to go to a universe and immediately think that everything is an extra dimensional threat, because if someone comes up to you made of cake or pastrami or soup or furries, you're going to want to eliminate them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Or eat them.
You wouldn't. Yeah.
You want to chow down on a furry? I get it.
All right. So that is the general thrust of the game, right? We're killing, we're capturing, or we're recapturing, but all of that requires an investigation. Like element to it first. What's next? Is there more?
You've clearly got this email up.
You're the prompting.
There has to be more. Yeah, would you believe it? Fuck. I imagine there would be more missions, but those are the first that stick out to me. I think for missions there could be an element of investigation. Think. If the info brief said one thing, but then when you traveled to the alternate universe, the city that was supposed to be populated was actually completely deserted. There would be an influx of missions coming in from your HQ monitoring radio communications across the universes, so you'd be able to undertake a few at a time. Ignoring them could have terrible consequences. That small cult you ignored has summoned an elder god, and now that universe has to be severed from the connection as it's beyond repair. This might also be a thing for failing missions. Your squad died when trying to kill a tentacle beast in a shifting labyrinth. Well, now your troops, with lots of skills in shooting tentacle beasts, are permanently dead, and you'll have to recruit and upgrade more now. This might provide opportunities, however, as if the same thing happens in a different universe, you now have prior knowledge as to what might happen. The lose conditions for this game, too many universes are beyond repair. The win conditions are, not sure, maybe it's endless.
That's my favourite bit.
I feel like you should do similar to XCOM, where there's a countdown, so you're trying to get everything you can to prepare for the final encounter.
Maybe the final encounter is Cthulhu.
Yeah, you can then, but you're, everywhere is open to you, but you choose which path you go down, and everyone takes a time. This takes 2 days to complete, right? So no matter what, you'll lose 2 days, win or lose, and that obviously chips away at the counter. And then on the next one, you're like, well, I'm not going back to there. I'm going to go to this one and move along a little bit. Kind of like, I would imagine it, you choose it like an FTL kind of map where you sort of, you travel to one place, it means you've locked off two more, right, that you could have previously traveled to, but you've unlocked the next one, or now we've got a split decision to make. That's how I would add some replayability.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess, yeah, the problem is, it's like, there has to be some kind of, like, end goal to be reaching towards, otherwise it is just endless, and then I think that becomes a bit...
Peace on all worlds, I think, should be a good goal.
Peace on all worlds.
Just peace and happiness for all, in every universe, I guess it could for the be rest like, of yeah, time.
Like eliminating...
Is that too much to ask? is it too much to ask for everyone to just be happy and content with the life they have?
I think in the one where Hitler won, maybe.
It would be saving your own saving your own world, but saving as many other worlds as possible along the way, right? If you, every time you sever one, you lose access to that piece of technology that you get.
Certain technologies, yeah. Perhaps like with each universe, there is a specific technology that will help you build a component of the machine that is required to finish the game, you know, to fight the end boss or whatever. And it's a bit like, do you know, have you played Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Yes.
Do you know when you're...
I'm trying to get the link.
Do you know when you're... I think it's when you're scaling the tower, like Midga Tower, Shinra Tower, and the Airbuster... Is it Shinra Tower? Yeah, but anyway, the Airbuster boss, essentially. You're going through the different floors, and you can put resources into... I think it's key cards. You can decide to put a key card into an area... into a machine that says, okay, I know I'm going to fight this boss at some point, but if I spend this key card, I can remove one of his thrusters, or I could remove one of his guns or something. And so essentially you're having
to... Do not remember this.
You have to decide when and what when and how to spend your resources and also get the resources in the first place, find the key cards in the first place to then... make the fight basically push the fight into your terms as much as possible, or you can just not have anything and just go straight in and just fight like that, and it'll be much harder. And so I wonder if maybe that's part of it.
You could do that where every time you pick up one of these artifacts, it is itself is a weapon that gives you an ability that you then have at your disposal in the final fight. You can combine all of them. Well, you have access to all of them, but you can combine them and it gives you a different kind of way to attack. So every way, and if it's like randomized, you're always going to end up with something if you don't fuck up that universe.
Yeah.
And it'll change the way you have to play the subsequent universes, because you're like, okay, I remember getting a artifact X last time, so I know how that works now. But I now need to go get something I haven't used before. I'll find out how that works.
I was almost thinking the complete opposite, which was you get the artifact if you lose, and that's a way of balancing the game. You get a bonus for fucking up to help you out. But if you want, you could try and complete the whole game using your normal terrestrial technology. But then if you fail,
Betamax.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm trying to reconcile it in my head, but I was just like, is there a run you could do where you use no mad technology from other dimensions?
I guess that would be the hard
one. You get a lower score the more like mad shit you use because you haven't completely cleared everything.
If you fail, you failed because the artifact sort of like you've taken it, right? So you've taken something from their world into yours. So it's corrupted your world a little bit more. So it makes the end boss stronger, but you have something new for your disposal.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, that's along the lines of what I was thinking. And maybe you could choose to like return it at some point to close a portal. Maybe a portal never fully closes while you're holding an artifact from that universe. But you could be like, I'm going to give up the Betamax tape launcher to fully close this portal. And it could be a management of like what artifacts haven't been returned, what have, that kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, that could work.
There you go. I think... I'm going to give up my signed copy of Pong. And it was signed by... who was the Russian leader during the Cold War?
Dostoevsky.
No, it wasn't Lenin.
No, not Lenin.
A Russian man. Gorbachev. It was signed by a Russian man.
All right, look. So what do we have right now, Tom? Can you tell us what we have?
We have an extra-dimensional... dimension hopping, XCOM tactical adventure, roguelike adventure tactics game in which you are the Interdimensional Horrors Police, which is the working title, by the way, jumping between universe and universe to stop cultists, tentacle elephants, armored amoebas, and whatever all the other things you said. From destabilizing and taking over all the different fucking universes. and if they destabilize, they're lost for good. And their technologies and their progress towards the greater threat will be lost forever. Keep as many as you can and the abilities that they have to take down the final threat or lose. Also, I think there might be some people that are made of cakes. and
everyone's wearing corduroy.
And if you're very lucky/unlucky, you will be randomly given the furry universe at the start of your run and asked to protect it.
What is the what is the technology from the furry universe that you would need?
Unbelievably large penis.
I was going to say, like some sort of quantum lead. A quantum leash.
That's how you capture.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I like it. You get Scott Bakula quantum leash.
No, it's like a mine, but it's just a dog food bowl that you put down and it attracts the enemies towards it.
Yeah. And then you unlock dimensional horror breeding.
All right. I know we didn't. We never got back to it.
Some sort of fairy homunculus.
Fucking hell.
All right, I'm a slimy.
That's going to be my nightmares tonight. I know we never really explored it anymore, but we ran out of time. But I do also really like the line of sight thing, like the reverse line of sight, because of some kind of...
Oh, so you don't go insane looking upon these horrors.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, maybe there's like a camera that you can throw in or something. But yeah, essentially like an XCOM style game with... I guess it's going to be somewhere in between XCOM and Divinity, right? With investigation elements. And
I think the different universes, like you were saying, with the way materials interact with each other, Divinity has a lot of elemental effects that occur in battle.
Yeah,
like if satisfying. It's raining, very satisfying. Yeah. If it's raining and you cast lightning, the entire floor is coated with electricity and that has effects, or fire and whatever else. So maybe... You know, going to these different universes, you can sort of play on that in which fire is a healing element in this universe, or lightning removes gravity or bullshit like that. Mm. So you have to understand the ways that the universes work as well. And I guess these could all be random modifiers as you jump into the universes. I don't know. There could be a lot of different random effects that could occur in all these different worlds, and keeping control of them. Like maybe there's a universe where you're like, the squad that I have simply cannot operate here. So I am just going to ignore this one. It will have a bad impact on me, but I have to ignore it because I don't have a chance there. It could be interesting.
I like, yeah. But like, you could have one universe which is like a quantum one where it's all different always. So you think you know, and then it changes per turn as well. So could really keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Like, that could be interesting as well.
Yeah.
I like that. Or I like universe the idea of
that's made of cum. I don't know why.
Oh, no.
I just kind of wanted to say it. I don't know why.
All right, I think that's probably...
Yeah, I also like... It's a good time to stop. But I also
a good place to end.
Look, I also like the idea of having a world map and you've got like different... It's all like overlaid on top of each other, essentially, these different
right,
universes.
Yeah,
and you can
yeah.
see the consistent state of each universe. Maybe certain effects will happen where just a chunk of this world collides with another dimension, and then you've got a mixture of both effects in that universe in those levels now.
Oh no, furries covered in cum.
Oh well, we're back to Earth One.
Okay.
There's some cool stuff. Fine. There's some cool stuff in there.
I think yeah, that kind of like emergent gameplay stuff. There's definitely potential for it.
Did we come up with the what was
Men in Corduroy?
What was the title that they picked?
Oh,
the working title was Interdimensional Horrors, Please. Okay. Which that doesn't have alliteration. There's no puns there. It doesn't rhyme or anything. So, I mean, Chris, have you got anything good there?
No, literally, I was staring out the window, racking my brain, and just because you've gone down that route, literally the first word that popped in my mind was cum force.
I had cum cops okay. in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Along
like,
the
that's
same,
the problem.
Along the same.
Tom, you've
you've ruined it.
Ruined our minds with
so
jism.
Quickly.
All right, so cum force.
Oh, I filled your head with cum.
I kind of like cum cop.
We can't call it cum cop.
That's good. That's going to do well on YouTube.
Okay. All right, look.
What about?
Can't wait for the thumbnail that one.
How do we get part C.U.M?
Yeah, C.U.M.
Yeah.
Counter Ultraman. I don't know.
All right, we'll work it out. It's either going to be that or Men in Corduroy. Or
Smegma Squad.
Men in Corduroy. Gotta be.
All right.
MIC.
Thank you for listening. To
Men
us.
In cum, did you just say?
I'm sorry for how it began. I'm sorry for how we're ending. It's just devolved into cum. There's cum everywhere. We need to clean up. We need to
start how it ended.
Stop covered in cum.
Yeah.
Right, look, if you have any other ideas for how this game might go, please let us know your thoughts. Or if you have any other ideas for pitches for games, you have elevator pitches, send them to us. We especially love audio pitches. Love them. So think about that. They can contact us.
Just think about that.
Think about think that.
About
dwell
that.
On
that.
It.
Don't think about anything
just
else.
Have,
think
have
about
think
it.
On that.
Nothing else. And then once you've thought about it, contact us. Where can they do that, Tom?
Yeah. They can send it to us, pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is correct. Is it not?
It is correct.
Pickaxe.com?
It does.
Oh,
it works.
Pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com. Well, there you go. Cut that entire section then.
just, cut most of this, just, to be honest.
The bit where I said the correct one. Just do that bit.
Nice. Yeah.
Editor's note.
Definitely will do.
Yeah, you can send it to us, pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com or on Twitter @pitchpleasepod with no vowels. That's it.
He's done it. Those two places.
That's it.
Please let us know what you think. We really want to do more of these listener pitches because they come up with better ideas.
They're good.
Good. And I really appreciate it. Pop Brainy, thank you so much for getting in touch and giving us your idea.
And sorry.
Yes, and we're also very sorry.
Yeah, really sorry that this ended up the way it did. But we did warn you.
I'm so sorry.
If you would like your idea to be destroyed by us, please be in touch. And until next time, goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Toodles.
Bye.
Yimmy. Yamma.
You said Yimmy. Oh, there's the Yamma.
come